You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
We are in the second week of this series called The Way, and I'm excited about it. It's both challenging and rewarding to be studying something for a period of time and to kind of wrap ourselves around that verse from the Gospel of John, where Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so each week we're kind of focusing on what that all means. Today we're looking at the way that we have been called and the way of that calling, how we walk in the way, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Our passage is short for a change, okay? And it says this, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Though it's short, this passage and what's behind it might be simple, but it is profound, and I think it's life-changing when people realize the depth and breadth and width and height of the calling that God has in their lives. So we're wrapping ourselves around this, right? G.K. Chesterton said this one time. He said, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." What he said a couple hundred or 100 and some years ago is still true today. A lot of people hear the words of Jesus and keep him at a distance and think about it from a distance and go, "Isn't that interesting? That might be nice. I like some of what he has to say." But Jesus doesn't give us that option. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when he says those words, he's calling to us. He's inviting us into a relationship that's personal and deep and intimate. It's another way that he says, "Follow me, trust in me, rely on me." Now, like I said at the beginning of the series last week, each sermon is kind of building on each other to an extent. At least that's my intent. I don't know. We're going to try to do that. We're kind of seeing the multifaceted way Jesus is the way and what is the way that we lead. So each week we're going to be looking at God's ways in our life and how that works, the ways of God and how he calls us to follow. And then we're also going to be seeing the dead ends, the ways that we try to go and how they are dead ends. Today, we're just looking at two aspects of this passage in Ephesians. First of all, the way of calling, as I mentioned, we have been called, versus, I think, the dead end way of a career and thinking about career in our lives. Okay? And then secondly, we're talking about walking in that way versus just kind of knowing about it from a distance. So let's look at the way of calling. I don't know if you realize this. You have been called. You are called by God. Do you realize that? Do you know what the calling really means? You've been called by the gospel. And it's so different from just having a career or an occupation or a job or just trying to figure out, why am I here on planet Earth? I'll tell you, it's fascinating. This next week in my leadership class at FGCU, we're going to be looking at this question of purpose and meaning in life. Most people today that I have met, it's been a shift. It's been a shift from 20, 30 years ago to today. Most people are not even asking the question, what is the purpose and meaning in my life? What direction am I really going? Most people are just trying to get a job and to get by and to have a good time. And I think it's been a shift because there's been a shift throughout this world ever since, in Western civilization at least, we've gotten into this period called the Enlightenment, which was to kind of cast off the authority of anyone above us, whether it's the government or kings and queens, etc., right, in Europe, and also the church that would tell us what to believe or to do. And now we're going to figure it out for ourselves. We have found that it's kind of like a puppet cutting his own strings. Our lives are kind of a little lost and powerless, and we're not quite sure. There's a man named, and I brought this up before, Martin Heidegger. He was a philosopher, very hard to understand. I really don't get him that much, but he lived in Germany in the 1930s, etc. And he said the common experience of human beings in this world, he tied up in this German word called Geworfenheit. It's kind of like Farfignugen and all those other words, you know, you just kind of like, wow, German can put these words together. How do they do that? Geworfenheit, which meant that the experience most human beings have is to be thrown out into this world, just like cast out like a dirty rag or just thrown out into the middle of this chaos. It's like, whew, there you go. Good luck. Figure it out. And so when I asked the students to come up with a purpose and meaning in life, the best, first of all, their experiences, they've just been tossed out into this world. They have no idea who they are, why they're here, or what they're doing. And so you ask them to figure it out, and they're like, how can you figure this out? I don't even know how to figure this out. I don't even know where to start. And why would I want to? What I'm trying to do is get a good paying job. And what I'm trying to do is just get a career. And what I'm trying to do is have a good time. That's basically the purpose of my life. That's about as deep as it gets for the vast majority of people these days. They've given up trying to figure it out because their experience is to be just thrown out into this world, cast out. Good luck. Hope you can figure it out. Okay? Now, Paul would say in Ephesians, for you, you are not thrown out into this world. He says you are sent. He says you have been called by God. Called. You are fundamentally called. Your characteristic of what your human life is about is that you have a calling. You have a divine purpose. You have a reason for being here. You're not randomly thrown out. You are purposely placed. And God has deeper purposes for you than you realize. And it isn't an afterthought or secondary in God's mind. Oh, like, oh, maybe, oh, yeah, human beings, let's figure this out. Oh, maybe I should get them to do something. Maybe I should give them something to do. Not at all. Your calling is foundational. In fact, it happened before God created anything. So you might have asked, well, wait a minute, you say I'm called, but when was I called? I don't remember. I don't recall when I've been called. You probably wouldn't because you didn't even exist when God chose you. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says. It's of a mind-blowing passage. He chose you. He chose us in him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of this world. So the reason God even created this universe, life, the meaning, everything that you see, the meaning of life, the universe, everything, is that he had already said, I'm choosing you. Before God said, let there be light, he actually said, in his mind's eye, let there be Mark and Lisa and Tatiana and Julie and Vern. You get it? He purposely chose you before anything else. He made it specific for the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a teen, maybe, probably a preteen, when God spoke to him and called him to be a prophet, but it actually happened even before that. So Jeremiah at age 12 or so, can you imagine being called to be a prophet to the kings and queens and royalty and everybody else in all of Jerusalem at the age of 12? Yes, somewhere around there. And this is what God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So Jeremiah didn't know that. But God did, and then God spoke to him in time to tell him again, I've already called you, I already consecrated you, I already chose you way back, before you had a chance to do anything, before you even knew you, I knew you. So you might be saying, though, okay, great. So God called us before he did anything. He chose us. Why? You get those phone calls? You know, you see the number on your cell phone. I just love it, don't you? It's an unknown number. It's like, okay, you pick it up, and what do you get? A pre-recorded, hello, I'm calling for, right? And it's always a pause, and then it's like, hello, and then it's like, click. Because you know exactly what's going on. They're calling you to get something out of you, to use you. Money, time, you know, we get it all. Yeah. Is that why God called us? Is that why God called? Because it's like he wants to call human beings to do stuff he didn't want to do. He's calling human beings to get something done, the dirty work, while he sits up there, takes it easy. I'm ruling over you, you know. No. This is what Ephesians chapter 1, right after he says he chose us before the foundation of the world, it says this. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Okay, so he called you out of love. The whole reason he created this universe, the whole reason he said, let there be light, was that he loved so much. He wanted to love you. He chose you to be blessed, it says in this, in his son, Jesus Christ. So the Father who always was, and the Son whom he always loved, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, comes into our lives to that we might join in the love between Father, Son, and Spirit. The same love he loved his Son is the love he loves us. And he brings us into that, Father, Son, and Spirit. So you were called to be in fellowship with the God of creation, Father, Son, and Spirit. And why were you called? What to what end? He says, to display God's glory, to be his representative on earth, to image him, to show what he's like to the rest of creation, to steward everything that is under your care. From Ephesians chapter 2, Paul put it this way, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So you are God's masterpiece. You are the canvas on which he paints his image. You are the canvas on which the colors of his glory are displayed. Your life reflects his goodness and mercy and truth and love. That's why he called you, just to go, wow. And to be wowed by you, to go like, wow, look at this. Look at that. Aren't they beautiful, wonderful, great? I've loved them so much, and look at what they're able to do and what I've given them. You've been called to display his glory. Much different than just having a career or a job or anything else. But so what? Okay, I've been called. I'm not just thrown out in this world. I don't have to try to figure it out from scratch. I've got a purpose that's kind of front-loaded already. It's built into the work. It's true. I think there are some basic implications of this. We're going to go through four, A, B, C, D. First of all, A, what a comfort this is. Okay? I didn't do anything to deserve this call. I didn't choose anything about it. But I am the object of God's divine affection and his intention in this world. It's all grace. You know what's great about that is then, regardless of circumstances around me or situations that I face, nothing can override the fundamental fact that I have been called, I have value, I have worth, I have purpose, I have meaning, I have direction, I have a destiny, all because of God, who did it even before I was born, before the world was created. So there's no question It's all there. That's great comfort to me. B, calling, like I've mentioned a couple times, is much deeper than having a career. A vocation is much more important than an occupation. Your destiny is higher than a task that you accomplish. Your calling is always greater than a job. Here's a good illustration of that. We all do mundane tasks. We all do things in this world, but when we have an understanding of we've been called by God to display His glory in whatever we do, it changes the way we see those tasks. So one person will say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm laying bricks." The next person will say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm building a wall." But the third person who understands his calling and his divine purpose and the divine direction says, "I am helping along with others building a cathedral." You see, you are God's masterpiece. You are his cathedral. You are the temple that God displays his glory in, and everything in your life that's being built, that's being done, is able to display that glory, and everything has divine purpose, even the most mundane tasks of laying bricks. C, your calling's sure. Your calling is certain. You don't have a calling. Your calling has you. It's a big difference. Because you can switch a career, and you can walk away from a job, and you can retire from an occupation, but you cannot leave your calling. Okay? This is what Paul puts in Romans. He talks about this. He says this pretty clearly. He says, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That he basically says, God has called you, he's gifted you, and even when you mess up, he doesn't say, "Oh, I'm taking that back now." You don't get that. No, he gives and he doesn't hold back. He doesn't only give so long as. So he has given you a calling regardless of how you respond to that calling, and he will not take it back. Okay? Now, Jeremiah understood the depth of his calling in one sense, and he wasn't happy with it, by the way. He was a 12-year-old and then a teenager that was pretty well like a lot of 12-year-olds or teenagers. He was called the weeping prophet. He complained a lot, but I would complain too because his life was tough. And he couldn't let go of his calling though, even though he would try. And he wrote this in Jeremiah 20 after he has gone through so many things and been treated poorly by the kings and others in around him and acted like he's the traitor. He says, "If I say I will not mention him," talk about God, that is, "or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as if it were a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." If Jeremiah saw being a prophet as a profession, he could have just said, "I'm off the job now." Or a career, "Well, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore. The pay's lousy. The respect is gone. Forget about it." But his call was so deep and so profound that there was no way but to follow through with it, to be the prophet, to be the one who kept speaking, to be the one. Your call is such that it can, on a profound level, be the thing that you cannot but do and be. And to be tapped into that passion and that understanding, that fundamental issue. Okay? Jesus said it this way to his own disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to bear much fruit." So it's not even a choice to have a calling. You have been chosen. And I know that's countercultural. I know that flies in the face of everything that we in the United States believe that we need to have. I need to have freedom to do whatever I want and figure it out on my own. And I, as many choices as possible, the better. So I need to have 50 choices of mustard in the grocery store, and then I feel good. And I need 150 choices in careers, and I need to do all this. And God says, "No, you didn't choose me. I chose you." And you know why God chose you? He didn't want to leave it up to you. He didn't want to take the chance that you wouldn't choose him. He loves you enough to say, forget about it, you're mine. Isn't that great? That's how adoption works. I don't know if you realize, you know, we don't wait till kids decide if they want parents or not. We make that decision for them, for their good, because we're going to love that child, right? Isn't that great? That's what God has done for us. Your calling is sure. You don't have a calling, your calling has you. Then finally, everyone has a call here. Everyone. I know a lot of people in the Christian church kind of think in these terms, oh, that pastor, he's got a call, right? He's divine. Please pray for me, pastor, because your prayers get through a lot better than mine. Have you ever heard people do that all the time, right? Well, they're clergy. You know, I'm clergy. Have you heard that term, clergy? Right? And I'm just laity. That's what people say. Have you ever heard the term layman or laity? Here's the problem with that. That distinction does not exist in the Bible. It's nowhere in the New Testament at all. There is no place that the word, so the Greek word for clergy is kleros, and it's used as it's actually a lot or an inheritance. This is your portion, right? And when it is used in the New Testament, every time it's used of everyone, everyone who's following Jesus. Not just one or two, never a separate group of these people over here are kleros or clergy, and the rest of y'all aren't. Never. And it's true also of the word laos. It's not the country laos. That is the Greek word for laity or people. And whenever that word is used, it's used of everyone who's the people of God, without distinction. So there is no way to say I'm just laity and that person's clergy. They're the professionals and I'm the, everybody's an amateur, by the way. Every one of us. We're always working on this. No one's a professional. I may get to do this and be paid for it. And the church has decided in that sense often to have set aside some people who, instead of having to work other occupations all the time, are able to do this full time in a sense, this ministry. But every one of you is called. There is no one who has a smaller call than Billy Graham himself has been called by God. Do you realize that? Every one of you. Mother Teresa did not have a greater call than you did. No one has a greater call than you. Well, maybe one. Jesus. Did you realize he was called? He lived out a calling. And his calling wasn't for prestige or dominance. It wasn't a calling to kind of be royalty over everybody. The book of Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, God says this, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from dungeon, and from prison those who sit in darkness. Jesus was called the servant of the Lord, and this was his calling. God called him, his own son, into this world, in a position of service and humility to be a covenant that is a promise to the people of God's love and mercy and grace and truth. And he walked in that way when it didn't pay anything, regardless of how many people were following or lauding him or praising him, when he faced great opposition, when everything around him was against him. He followed the calling and it brought him all the way finally to the cross. And he fulfilled his calling by dying for us and rising again. You see, when it says, in him, he chose you before the foundation of this world, in Ephesians chapter 1, it's saying that God chose to send his son before he started creation to sacrifice himself so that he could call you personally. And that is why Paul says in this passage to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Walk in the way of your calling. That's our second point today. I love how Eugene Peterson says it. To follow Jesus is as much or maybe even more about feet as it is about ears and eyes. You know, that's why I said it's totally different than just knowing about Jesus. Being called by Jesus and walking in the way is a whole way of living, that you're living in response to the grace of God, that you are engaged in activities and service and in attitudes and everything. To follow Jesus is much more about not just hearing about it or seeing it, but accomplishing it and doing it. Feet. It's why we have home huddles here at Thrive, where we are trying to engage with each other in community to learn about our calling. And we ask two basic questions in those home huddles time and again. What is God teaching me, and what am I going to do about it? What is God teaching me? What am I going to do about it? You might say, well, home huddle, you know, small group. It's not just a small group Bible studies. We actually do things together. We learn, and you go, well, why do I need to do that? Do you know the shape of your calling? Do you understand your calling is unique? It's about your experience, and it's about your story, and it's about your gifts and your personality and all of that wrapped together that says, this is to what I am called and how I display God's glory and how I serve others. And you can't do that alone. Paul, in this passage, says to walk in a manner worthy of your calling is to walk in humility, he says, with patience, bearing with one another. All of these terms are saying the only way to really live out your calling is in community. It's with others, because your calling is to serve others. Your calling is to encourage others. Your calling is to care for others and be loved by others and to grow in community. And together we display the glory of God in the way that we interact with each other. So Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say memorize these facts. So you have been called. God has called you in love. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. He appointed you. He has authorized you. He empowers you. He gifts you. He fills you. He enlightens you. He forgives you. He displays his goodness through you, and he keeps you, and he sends you out into this world. So, for some of us today, maybe this is time for a recall. Do you know how recalls work? I've got a couple on my car right now. I get a notice that something's kind of not working right, right? It's going to break down. It could cause a hazard or something. And so you take it into the shop. That part gets replaced. No cost necessarily to you, just your time and, you know, all that stuff. And you get it back, and it's working better than ever. I think I need a recall because there are parts of my life that are a bit broken, not working right. I'm not walking necessarily in a manner worthy of this calling, and it's time to be recalled, to recall what God has already done for me, and to live again and again in that. It's called repentance often for the Christian, and there's nobody that's ever beyond that. I never get to the point where I am hitting on all cylinders and everything's working perfectly and I need no improvement. Recall. So maybe today, thinking about the depth and breadth and height and width of your calling, it's time for a recall. But for some of us, it might be the first time you've ever even heard the idea that you've been called by God. Maybe you've been bouncing between jobs. Maybe you've been trying to figure things out. Maybe you've been just going from one relationship to another or one thing to another. Maybe you've been trying to be good, or you've been just trying to just find something that's fun in life, but you don't realize that there's a deeper purpose or calling and that God has called you to something greater than you would ever imagine. This is your turn, your chance to respond to Jesus saying to you right now, I am your way, I am your truth, I am your life, you are mine. I have called you by name. And you can just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am.